Ladies and gentlemen, we saw a bona fide miracle on Tuesday night. A bona fide miracle. Bona fide. Certified. The miracle, the act of God that to me is nothing less than, you know, like Moses parting the Red Sea, is that so many people voted, over 51% of the population voted for the downfall of the United States of America. That's right. Now, I know this has to happen. America is going to fall. We have to become level with the other nations because there needs to be a one-world government. And a one-world government, all the kiddies need to be playing at the same level in the sandbox. So there can't be any bullies in the neighborhood. Now, I'm not saying the United States is a bully. I believe that we are a force for good in the world. We bust things and kill people in war, but we go clean it up. You know, like we did in World War II. Do I believe in breaking things and killing people? Well, yeah. I mean, it's necessary. God did it. War is a necessary evil. I don't like it. And I'm looking forward to an absence of it. I've never had to go to a war, and I thank God for it. But without it, that funny guy with the mustache and the German accent would have taken over the world. Prophecy requires that the United States be leveled and that the world become one. The West is still going to lead the world. I do believe that because Scripture prophesies it. The Western beast in Daniel chapter 7 is going to be the Christian nations. And now we're moving toward it. Apparently, Barack Obama needs 4 more years. I kind of thought he could have done it in only 4 years. And then the religious right takes over, and then we have the one world government. The one world government is going to be run by the religious right. But first, we have to get evil enough to demolish American sovereignty. And I thought, well, Obama's the only guy that can do that. Well, apparently he hasn't finished the job. And the reason why 51% of Americans voted for this is because as a nation, we have been dumbed down. We just want stuff. Obama gonna give me a phone. Obama gonna pay my rent. Obama gonna buy me a car. You know, I've heard these videos. I'm not mocking anybody. I'm imitating them quite perfectly. Nearly 100% accurately. People want stuff. It's hard to compete with, you know, the Easter Bunny, just giving you chocolate. You don't have to work for it. We used to think critically as a nation. We used to have brains. We've been dumbed down, and the root word there is dumb. We've been dumbed down by entertainment, by sugar, by donuts. Sorry, that's a redundancy, sugar and donuts. Music, television. We just want to see the next episode of American Idol. That's all we want. We want everybody to feel good. It's no fair that other people should feel better than others. That's where the redistribution of wealth comes in. But what I see in the ecclesia even, in the body of Christ, is something just as sickly, and that's the redistribution of truth. We have this thing where one person can't be right. God forbid one person should be right and one person should be wrong. That's not fair. We all know God's fair. Is he really? When did that start? I don't see God being fair anywhere. He chooses one nation, Israel, and ignores the other nations. As Dan and I told you earlier, God takes from the poor and gives to the rich. He's constantly favoring people. Jacob over Esau. Abraham over his brother Haran. Isaac over Ishmael. Peter, James, and John even were favored over the other 12. God's picking favorites all the time. And there is this cut and dry between truth and error. But we have this redistribution of truth going on. And I found this out big time in 1996 when I started teaching on what is a believer. Martin, how dare you? How dare you try to distinguish believers from unbelievers? What? How can you not? Paul says, do not become diversely yoked with unbelievers. How can you not become diversely yoked with them if you don't know who they are? I just don't understand this. Like, one person says the temperature's 80 degrees. Another person says it's 20 degrees. Well, we can't make a judgment between those two because then one would have to be right, one would have to be wrong. So we're just going to say it's 50 degrees. What? How about we look at a thermometer to find out what the temperature is? How about we seek the scriptures to see what the truth is? And if your teaching is aligned with truth, you're right. And if it's not aligned with truth, you're wrong. You're in error. I know that's not politically correct to call anybody wrong, but God does it all the time. Perfect example is the church in Galatia. It was a sickly mix. It was like, well, Paul says it's all of grace. The circumcisionists over here say it's law. What are we going to do? Well, we'll just say it's this mix between law and grace. a sickly mix. Paul calls it a bastardized gospel. It's a non-gospel that would mix these two. God hates the shades of gray that we see in the ecclesia today and in the world and in politics, all these shades of gray, trying to make everybody happy. If you want to guarantee yourself that you won't please anyone, try to please everyone. Well, that's not fair. What is a believer? Oh, man, I started teaching on this in 96, and I got in some hot water. Martin, you're saying that we have to believe certain things to be a believer? Just listen to that question. Yes, you have to believe certain things to be a believer. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, what fellowship has light with darkness? Look at these black and white lines. I love this. This is Paul. This is my man. This is my evangelist. What fellowship has light with darkness? Christ with Belial. A believer with an unbeliever? None. There's no fellowship between those things. In the book of Revelation, one of those ecclesias there in chapter 2, Jesus says, I wish that you were either hot or cold. Would you just stand for something? I remember a teacher in sixth grade used to say, English class, I think, and she'd ask us questions and we'd stand up, and if you didn't know the answer, you would mumble it. Like, what is a dangling participle? Well, that's a... What? If you're going to be wrong, at least be wrong audibly. I'll never forget her saying that. If you're going to be wrong, at least be wrong audibly. Stand up straight, puff out your chest, and state your error. And then be able to be corrected. None of us are right all the time. What's this spiritual redistribution business? I don't get it. Because, and then you stand up for the truth and people think you're mean or you're just unfeeling. God spits the lukewarm from his mouth. I wish that you were either hot or cold, but since you're lukewarm, I spit you out of my mouth. Stand for something. That's why there are few leaders and few men of God in the ecclesia. Because our charge as leaders in the ecclesia, as teachers, is to expose, rebuke, and entreat. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Everybody loves to entreat. Oh, it's easy to entreat. Just believe in Jesus. Please believe in Jesus. Here are wonderful things done for you by Jesus. That's so easy. Everybody does that because you're a friend. But when you expose and rebuke, then you become an enemy. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone who wounds you to heal you is not your enemy, but your friend. Those who expose and rebuke, these are necessary prerequisites for entreaty. The world is so full of fog, so full of sugar, so full of Oreos, so full of American Idol, so full of popular music and rap, they can't think straight. You have to knock them upside the head with a baseball bat just to wake them up. You're not hurting them. Oh, Martin, you're being so mean to those people. No, I'm not even, I'm barely waking them up. You hit them on the side of the head with a 2x4, you're not hurting them. You're just like, what? What'd you say? The world has been dumbed down, and again, the root word there is dumb. I take offense at those among us who hang their hammock at the consummation. It's absolutism. I know the absolute truth of God, that God's in control of everything. I know that God is going to be all in all. But those who I accuse of hanging their hammock at the consummation, just like, well, everything's going to work out, so we'll just sit back and let it happen. The Apostle Paul never taught like that. Paul's in the game. He's telling people, hey, do this, do that. Don't sin. Herald the word. Stay true. Don't fall for that crap. Quit mixing the evangels. What are you foolish Galatians doing believing the circumcisionists? They're lunatics. You're the faithful. That's an unbeliever. You're a believer. He's in the game. He's black and white. Now, we're heading for a one-world government. Back to the election, and I'll close. Apparently, Barack Obama needs 4 more years. Again, I thought it could have been done with only 4 years. But again, my principle is correct here that I believe the liberals and the progressives are going to build a one-world government, and then the Christian, the religious right, is going to take it over and administer it with pure justice and righteousness. Well, that's going to become the beast. God calls a few people to herald the word in the trench. To call a spade, to say, this is black, this is white, you're right, you're wrong, you're a believer, you're an unbeliever. This is necessary. It's necessary for the truth, because otherwise people will never hear the truth. If you never make a positive statement, if you never draw the line in the sand, people just aren't going to get it. The worst thing anybody can do after reading one of my books is scratch their heads and say, I wonder what that guy was trying to say. I have dedicated my life to make sure that never happens. If you ever wondered what I'm trying to say, then I did not do my job. Write me and tell me I didn't do my job, and I'll make myself clearer. We're heading for a one-world government. I say bring it on. Pull the pin. Throw the grenade. The game is on. The fire is lit. This thing is going to happen faster now, I think, with the election of Barack Obama than we once thought. Stay true. Read the Word of God. Stay true to the evangel of Paul. Buy the book, First Idiot in Heaven, and lift your head for your redemption draw. Thank you. Amen. We'll